all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 110. We've kind of had a couple of weeks off just due to everybody's conflicting schedules recently. I thought it would be the summer that would have the issues preparing you to fall when everybody gets busy and hectic and life takes over. It is what it is. But this week, as we return, we decided it's time to go green. So before we get started, let's introduce our panel. We have Wesley.
Go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
Who gets to play the Venus de Mayo of this podcast.
Yeah, well, you got to get your Shut Up Wesley in for my birthday.
So. we have Anthony.
Cowabunga!
Oh, God.
So we have someone had to say it.
Somebody had to say it.
Yeah.
And we have Nicholas.
I have a cat on my arm.
Who apparently is playing Brofeld in this episode.
No, the cat just walked over. He's like, oh, hey, you're sitting down. I'm going to just sit here. You don't need that arm, right? Cool. No, not even words. This cat doesn't make noise.
Oh.
Just walks over and goes, hey, plop.
Like my old cat, Becky.
Nice. So, like I said, we're going green. We're going to finally talk about Ninja Turtles. Honestly, I wanted to talk about this forever, but I knew that they had a TV show in production, and at some point, they also had a movie that has been put on hold, and I wanted to line it up with one of those. I didn't know it would take forever for either one of them to come out, because I think the show was already announced in something like early 2010.
Yeah, it was about 2010 when it was announced.
And yeah, it's taken its sweet time getting done, but it's a CG show, I guess. Expected. I don't know. Green Lantern was announced and released an entire season before this premiered afterwards, so who knows. But yes, I figured with the new TV show that premiered on Nickelodeon this past weekend and the fact that, you know, there's been movies and TV shows and the rebooted comic series just started last year around this time, that it would be a great time to sit down and finally talk Ninja Turtles. I actually wanted to kick us off because of all of my fandoms, Ninja Turtles was actually the first one I had. The cartoon hit around the time when I mean, the cartoon started when I was about two.
Okay.
But it was around that, you know, it continued airing for about 10 years. So it was about that time when I was kind of getting cognitive of what was going on. And as a person who grew up in a big family, it was one of those shows that actually had a huge ensemble cast that everybody was equals. Like, G.I. Joe, there were multiple characters, but not everybody was kind of an equal. So, where, like, Ninja Turtles, you know, like, granted, yes, Leonardo's the leader, whatever, but for the most part, they were all kind of treated as four equals on the team with different personalities and stuff like that. So as a person who comes from a big family, it was always nice to have a character you can relate to that your siblings can also get somebody different. So for me, it was Michelangelo. And that's kind of defined a lot of my personality growing up. I've mentioned before, and a lot of people think, my favorite color is orange because of my favorite Ninja Turtles. That and I've always been keen on brighter colors.
Mm-hmm.
And my love of terrible puns also comes from the
Wait, that doesn't come from Batman and Robin. It comes from Turtles.
I don't like Batman and Robin, but I do like Arnold's puns. So they kind of go from that point where, like, if he had cut it back by like half, it wouldn't have been so bad. To, like, if every other line you're uttering is a bad pun, it's kind of like, and I mean, it's something that they continue with Michelangelo, and he, you know, at this point, it's kind of a joke where he'll pretty much, like, point to the camera and say, like, I'm, you know, like, this is just terrible, why aren't you folks laughing? But bad puns are awesome.
Yes, they are.
So yeah, and, you know, growing up, it was a huge thing for me. I had a bunch of the toys. I had the turtle van. There were some cool ones that you could wind up and they would swim in the bathtub.
Oh, you had those? Cool.
For a long time, I was Ninja Turtles for 2 years, 2 years in a row for Halloween. A lot of my early childhood was focused on this series, you know, and then the movies came out and that was a huge part. I mean, of course, you know, pizza became a huge deal, but who doesn't have pizza? And the video games, you know, Turtles in Time is still one of my favorite games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, there was a Ninja Turtles contest that happened when I was a kid, and I won third place in it. And I got a Raphael pin. And that was, like, one of the few contests I ever won in my life, and I got a Ninja Turtles Raphael pin. that right. I think I still have somewhere. That's what's funny. I probably still have it somewhere.
So, yeah, I mean, that's my story. What about the rest of you? How did you get into Ninja Turtles, or when did you get into Ninja Turtles? And I guess we'll start with Wesley, since he shared his winnings.
My winning, yes. I can't remember the store where I entered the contest from, but I remember I was like, you won third place in the Ninja Turtle contest. And I was like, oh, wow, what did I get? Raphael pin. Okay, that's cool. Underwhelming, but, you know, hey, you won a contest. You got a pin. Cool. But when I got into it when I was a kid, I can't remember exactly what getting pointed. I think it was just one of those, well, this is a fun series. And, I mean, it aired daily, and I just got really hooked into it. I mean, I got the trading cards. I got the trading cards. And one in particular struck me, the pizza for breakfast. So, and I was like, pizza for breakfast? I want to try pizza for breakfast. And don't ask me how I convinced my parents to let me do this, but I had pizza for breakfast one morning. I convinced them to let me have pizza for breakfast. And it was sausage pizza, so it was still breakfasty. So I had a sausage pizza for breakfast one morning.
Should have put bacon on it as well.
I never thought about that. I should have had them order me a bacon sausage pizza, but... sausage pizza for breakfast. Like, oh, heck, why not? So I had pizza for breakfast, and it was really funny. What's up?
I was going to go into the pizza bagel theme song, you know, pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time.
Go ahead. That actually fits.
That's silly. You're silly.
Yes, but my God, that actually happened. People go, really? Like, yeah. I got a kick out of the trading card, and I wanted pizza for breakfast. And it was really funny. But that's when I went, wow, I'm really... And I always did follow the show, even when it got to, like, I pretty much followed the series throughout practically the entire run when it started airing on CBS, the aforementioned darker episodes of the series, when the series animation style got a little bit darker and they started...
The Red Sky thing.
What is it?
The Red Sky thing.
Yeah.
It's the Batman, the animated series, Art Deco, paint on black paper to make everything kind of pop out.
It was interesting. It was really interesting how, like, the CBS thought they started and went, huh, they changed the animation style for this. Oh, wow, the storylines have gotten a little darker. Wow, this is different. So, I don't know, it's like just one of those things that I found myself just really getting a kick out of. And, like... It was one of my, I would say, top three things I followed when I was a kid. It was Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joe, and what would be my third one? Probably X-Men probably G.I. Joe, X-Men, and Ninja Turtles. Yeah, my top three. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay, what about you, Nicholas?
Well, I'm, you know, a couple years older than Wes. I was well ensconced in my Transformers and G.I. Joe love when Turtles showed up. But I remember seeing the show and, like, getting into it because they're ninjas. I like ninjas. I was, like, super into, like, ninjas already, like, way before Ninja Turtles were a thing. And I actually got books out of the library to try to teach myself karate.
Really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was that much of a nerd.
How did that work out?
I love it.
It didn't work out very well at all. So
he says when he's secretly a ninja.
Yeah, I'm actually secretly an Asian assassin. I don't know if you know that.
That's a new thing we learned today.
But yeah, I like the turtles. I was around the age, like, after it was around for a couple of years, I started looking into the comics and all that stuff. So I had, like, the black and white, old school stuff. And I got out of the library, there was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles RPG. I think it was put out by Palladium, which I took the source book out from the library and neglected to return it for many, many months. But that was, like, based more on the comics and everything. So it was weird and dark and crazy. That was awesome. I loved the movie, too. Especially the first movie.
Oh, God, yes. The first movie. That was funny. That was a fun one.
We'll get into that in a bit more detail in a second. And what about you, Anthony?
Well, I remember most as a kid. I can't remember watching the show that much, even though I think I did. I remember having the toys more. Like, the toys were... They were like turtles, and then you transform them a little, like twist the head around, and then they turn into the Ninja Turtle, and then with me, I keep getting told this. With like 1 year at Christmas, we'd want Transformers stuff, and then the year after it'd be Ghostbusters, and then the year after that it'd be turtles. I don't think it was in that order. The order might have been a little bit different, but
sounds about right.
But. It like started in 87, which was the year before I was born, but like it was on for 10 years, around 10 years. So I watched it on like the repeats and stuff. I think on Fox Kids in the UK is probably what it was on. And I remember the Turtles in Time game as well, which I had on the Super Nintendo, which I played a lot because it was like it was like a cooperative game, so it was a game me and my brother could play without arguing too much over who'd win and who'd lose, and you know, because you'd have to work together.
You always get that argument in those old school games about who gets the pizza, because you'd always steal it when that.
Oh
other
yeah, yeah,
more.
I remember. Yeah, you needed it for life and stuff. Yeah.
Or in I think the second stage, you get the spinny pizza. Is that the one?
I think we completed it as well, actually. I don't know. I can't remember. It is on the PlayStation Network.
We don't talk about that. We
Xbox
don't talk about
Live
that.
Store.
We
I
don't
think,
talk about that
to,
one.
Yeah, that re-released.
Why is that like?
It's terrible. We don't talk about it.
Yeah. Why? What's wrong with it?
It's just awful. Like they took the game and they just kind of butchered it big time.
Oh,
I think most of it
really?
Is one. Well, one, it's kind of based off the arcade version, which, if you know anything about it, it's actually less stuff than the Super Nintendo version. Like, it doesn't have the stage, I believe it doesn't have the stage when you're on the, like, the turtle cycles into the future. It doesn't have the boss battle versus the Shredder, where you have to throw the Foot Clan members into the TV screen, which is an awesome boss battle.
Yeah, that was fun.
It doesn't have the Rat King boss battle from the third stage, I want to say. There's some other differences, but I know it's missing like two or three stages, and they redid the music. It's not as memorable. The 3D graphics are just kind of ugly again. I was so excited for that game when it came out. I bought it day one. I played it day five, and it's like, why did I buy this? And I go back every now and then to try to replay it to see if maybe I was just being too harsh on it, but it still doesn't really hold up. I still own the original Turtles in Time on the Super Nintendo, so I have something to compare it to as well. It's not just nostalgia speaking.
Well, I don't think I played it recently, but from what I remember, it was an awesome game. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's my story.
Okay. And that's how we all kind of got into Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. But yeah, like we all kind of mentioned, I think most of us got in with the TV show.
Yep.
Even though it was actually a comic book first, the TV show is really what kind of popularized the franchise, which is also kind of funny because if you do read the original comics, the TV show really doesn't take a lot from it.
No, not at all.
No, it doesn't.
So it's like, it's very, I mean, there are some stuff that the TV show adds that becomes staples. I believe the TV show was the first thing that did different colored bandanas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, of course, is, you know, a huge element of the Ninja Turtles now. And it kind of cemented Shredder as the big baddie, because in the original comic, Shredder actually dies within, like, the first or second arc. He dies very quickly, anyhow. But he becomes the main baddie in the cartoon series, so people kind of associate him with...
He's in the movies as well, so...
Yeah, and that was because of the success of the cartoon series.
Mm.
Because he technically dies at the end of the first movie, but he's brought back for the second movie.
He's Kevin Nash, isn't he, in the second one? Yeah.
Well, he's Kevin Nash for part of the movie.
Kevin Nash for part of the movie.
Oh, yeah, they asked 5 minutes.
Five minutes? It's Kevin Nash's Super Shredder.
Yeah. But yeah, so they added that. There are other things. I mean, there are other characters who are kind of added and changed, like Baxter Stockman doesn't actually become a fly in the comic books, as far as I know. Master Sphinx, I believe, also dies at some point. All right, maybe that's later on in the comic series. But I know he eventually does die in the comics.
Was Casey Jones, the hockey player, did he come in the TV show, or was he in the comics originally?
I think all the major characters are from the comic books. Just that April wasn't a news reporter in the comic books either. I believe she was.
She's a scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the IDW, in the series IDW did that started late last year, she's a scientist in that as well. And because I haven't read like the original Turtles comics, I've read some of the IDW ones, but it was like weird seeing April as a scientist, because I was used to her being a reporter from when I watched the TV show when I was a kid. So, but it made more since, like, with the Turtles' origin, with them like being created in a lab more or less, it does make more sense for her to be a scientist who was just happened to be working in the lab where they're created. So,
yeah, I mean, the origins is also something. I mean, their origins is kind of consistent. But, like, the relationship between Shredder and like, Master Splinter changes. In the cartoon, he's a human who got turned into a rat. In the movie, he was a rat who got turned into a larger rat. I think in the new series, he was a human who got turned into a rat, like the original cartoon. I don't actually know his origins in the comics. I think it makes more sense that he was a human who turned into a rat, because I believe the way the mutagen technically works, depending on the origin, is that it changes you more into and more in line with what you last touched. So since Master Sphinx was the one, like, he was a human who touched the Ninja Turtles, so they turned into more human-esque characters because of that, and the last thing he touched was a rat. It's really hokey, and it has, like, a magic mutagen or ooze or...
Sounds like something you'd expect from comic books, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's a long way from the Daredevil parody that the comic books originally were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting, and this is jumping ahead a lot, but I don't know if any of you saw Turtles Forever, which was the 25th anniversary special that they aired in 2009, which took a look at... It basically compared the Ninja Turtles of the 80s, the comic books, and the current... well, not the current anymore, but the most recent incarnation before this new cartoon, and, like, different attitudes and evolution of that, because, like we said, the 80s cartoons, the first one, is played a lot more lighthearted and cartoony, and while I grew up with that, I honestly can't go back and watch it anymore. It doesn't really hold my interest. Aside from possibly the first 5 episodes, which has an actual arc to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just like, yeah, we'll just keep on recycling Shred and have him have some mainframe scheme of the week.
So has it not aged very well then?
No.
No, it hasn't.
There's a lot of things wrong with it. Mostly the animation doesn't hold up.
Yeah, that's
the humor's very dated.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's one of those things, and this is a problem, I don't want to say with all 80s, but this is a problem with a couple of cartoons in that era, is that after, it's just, like, the same kind of recycled plot week in and week out with no real sense of continuity, mm-hmm. which works when you're a kid, mm-hmm. because it's like, I can watch any episode and have fun, but as an adult, it's like, how many times can I see Shredder Phil, or Mumra, or Cobra? Uh-huh. before it becomes uninteresting.
Insert
which is
bad guy here.
Yeah,
don't you dare say a bad word about Cobra. They were solid. They had solid plans. They just happened to involve weather dominators and the like.
And it's actually kind of funny, because a lot of these shows have been modernized or updated or, you know, revived. And you see that that's one of the things they tend to correct, is the fact that the villain has to win at some times for your hero to continue their journey. Thundercats did this, where Mumra kicked their asses for most of season one. Ninja Turtles did this with the most recent cartoon. And that, granted, that was partially because they went more in line with the old comic books. But like, Shredder was a dominant force for the first season. He actually, and he does this in the first movie as well. He kicks the Ninja Turtles' asses in a fight. Four on one, basically, until Master Splinter shows up each and every time. And that makes sense because even though most we don't necessarily always think, they are still teenagers. They're like 15.
Mm.
So they aren't physically or mentally mature. They just kind of have those personalities at times. So yeah, there's that. So I mean, I guess we kind of let's talk about the Ninja Turtles and their personalities. There are four main turtles, all named after Renaissance artists. And there's a fifth turtle if you're that vindictive.
There's a, with them being named after artists. Actually, there was in high school, my first year of high school, when I was doing an art exam, I needed to name four artists. So I just put the names of the turtles down, and I got it right. Awesome. It was awesome. I just put Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, and Michelangelo, and I got the question right. So
yeah, I mean, I think that's usually the artist that people think of in out. I mean, I think some of them are. I mean, some of them are poppy, and some of them aren't as poppy as the Ninja Turtles would make you think. But yeah, those tend to be. And then Venus de Milo got added there.
Venus de Milo. You were a thing.
Which most people were smart enough to kind of ignore. I don't think she ever appears in anything else.
No! She's been covered completely out of the continuity of that.
I was going to say, I'm not entirely sure who you're on about, actually.
Ah,
she
yeah.
is. It's better that we don't talk about it.
Oh, tell you what. Since you made me the Venus de Milo of the episode, I will mention where she comes from. It's a time period of Fox during their time when they were basically making Power Ranger style shows out of everything. So you had like Big Bad Beetleborg, Masked Rider.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And all that.
Period,
yeah. So they decided, let's make a live action just Turtles cartoon, like live action Turtles, and that's just Turtles the Next Mutation, which is what gave us Venus de Milo, and it lasted about a season and. Yeah, it happened. It actually had a team up with Power Rangers.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the thing that most people tend to remember from that show. Yeah,
it teamed up with Power Rangers. I think it even teamed up with Masked Rider, too.
They probably teamed it up with a lot of their live-action properties.
They were trying, by golly, to make that show be a success, but no, it didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, so, yeah. And it was, I mean, there was a lot of stupid, like, if I'm not mistaken, I think in the first episode, like, the first, like, Shredder gets his memory erased, and he becomes, like, a hobo.
Yeah.
In the streets, and there's, like, a can of super dinosaurs that they're fighting now, and it's
bad.
And I don't want to say, because Ninja Turtles isn't necessarily grounded in reality. I mean, going back to the original series, the second main bad guy is a brain that is inside of a giant android body.
Prang.
So, I mean, it's not that hokey to have super dinosaurs. It's just the whole premise of, like, Shredder using his memory and becoming some hobo on the streets and all this other nonsense that really just kind of takes you out of them. And it was really crappy. Cause, I mean, it's a live-action show, and, you know, the costumes and stuff just looks really cheesy.
It was bad. It was one of those things where you just go, guy, what were you thinking? Just what were you thinking?
Yeah, it's kind. I mean, I think I actually watched this recently. I was needed something to do on a Friday night to get drunk, and I'm like, this is on Netflix. And if I'm not mistaken, his costume looks like one of those cheap things you pick up in a Halloween store.
Because you know they didn't have budget for anything better.
Yeah, which I mean, I understand it because he wasn't around on the show. He's only there for an episode or two. But it and then the mouths weren't synced up to the voices. Oh, God. It was a painful, painful show.
It hurts like fire.
We're just going to put that in the back burner. We talked about it. I think that's
yeah, funny. I think we just had to talk about it. Now we can go on to something else.
Yes. So, I mean, going back to the actual four main Ninja Turtles themselves, I mean, traditionally speaking, most people know that Leonardo leads, Donatello does machines, Raphael is cool.
Michelangelo's cool. The party dude.
Yeah.
It's great how one's a scientist, one's like a leader, the other one, yeah, I'm just the cool one, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, I mean, as the Turtles are all pretty much one-note characters, they have that one personality trait that defines them. I mean, it's so easy that they can name it in a song, and that's pretty much who they are. Except for, I believe the movies, the first one especially, tries to push Raphael as the leader of the group. I think because he probably was the most popular character in the cartoon. He remains one of the most popular characters. Mm-hmm. Granted, they forward him, so. And he also works better with Casey Jones, who was a big part of the first movie as well. But yeah, that one-note personality, I mean, it goes far at times, because they do tend to shake it up at times if the show goes on or not. The original cartoon really doesn't. It kind of sticks with that. These are the four characters. April's the damsel in distress. Casey's the tough guy from Jersey. And Bebop and Rocksteady are just imbecile henchmen. And it's pretty much that formula for like the first six or seven seasons. As you mentioned this before, during, I believe it's the eighth season, they make the switch over to CBS, and they kind of make the art style more in tune with the actual movies. So it's darker, the song changes, and in order to really kind of completely revamp the show, they get rid of Shredder and Krang, who are, I believe, trapped in Dimension X.
Yep, I actually have the Wikipedia page up right now, and it's like they're trapped in Dimension X, and then they introduce a new villain, Lord Dreg, to be the villain of the last two seasons of the series.
And that was met with such enthusiasm by fans as usually any changes are. And he was kind of a name villain, but that wasn't the only change that happened. They wanted to involve the Ninja Turtles, and since they were based on mutation, they decided that they would have a next form of the mutation, which would kind of change the Ninja Turtles into giant hulking monsters.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so...
I'd forgotten about that part. I just looked all the way up. Okay. I've forgotten about that part entirely.
And I believe they get another sidekick.
Carter, they said on here.
Yeah, I think he's actually like the mold of the characters who came out of the Ninja Turtle ripoff. Like that cool, too hip for school sidekick.
He's the Poochie.
Yeah, Street Sharks had that guy. And basically, he's kind of like the same dude from Street Sharks. Like, you know, he skateboards, he has like a hat.
The Rastafarian badass who is too cool for school.
Yeah, so...
I'm sorry. Oh god, I'm sorry for being sick.
That became a thing. I mean, most people don't really... This is kind of like the same thing that happened with Step by Step and Family Matters. It went to CBS and nobody paid attention to it.
Yeah,
and
nobody did. Because it was airing right around that time of their Saturday morning, of that... their Saturday morning revamp, which it had like Wildcats and a couple other series, and no one cared about CBS's Saturday morning lineup by the end of its time period, and that's when it hit, right around the time when people started tuning out of CBS's Saturday morning.
Yeah, CBS has kind of had that awkward lot of things where they try to get into the game. Like, CBS is actually, I think it's the most successful network we have right now.
It is.
It's based entirely on their primetime program.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things because they've realized that they can't copy anybody else, so they're just kind of doing these shows. Like, most of their shows succeed because it's not something you actually have to be invested in. You can just kind of watch one episode every month and you'd be good to go for most of their shows.
It's their lowest common denominator stuff. But
yeah.
We don't need to rehash why CBS is terrible again.
But yeah, they've tried that with, I think it was called the Action Zone, and that was...
Yes, it was called the Action Zone.
Action Zone.
I actually like their Saturday morning lineup, because I actually got a kick out of Wildcat. I like some of their shows in their Action Zone.
I don't remember it, I just know it had Ninja Turtles on it, and I am in the minority of this, because I know a lot of people love the original Ninja Turtles theme song, and I do too, but I actually think the CBS one is superior.
I heard the new one earlier today, the kind of like the rap version or whatever.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
quite cool.
They've had a lot of theme songs, which is something else we can talk about. Because music has been a big part. Like I said, the original theme song is something a lot of people know. I think you just start off that little teen, and most people know what you're talking about. But I don't think that's the song that most people really think of when they think of Ninja Turtles. They think of Vanilla Ice's Ninja Rap from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. Which is one of his only two hits, and I think most people know it, one, because it's Vanilla Ice, but two, it's because they have an entire segment of the movie dedicated to it, where he comes up with an impromptu song on the spot that he had an entire choreography for, instead of the Ninja Turtles. They actually take time out of their schedule to dance on stage. And it's really cheesy, but it's a very catchy song.
Oh, yes, it is. Didn't you? That was a song you made Josh Fry do on Twitter, honestly.
Yeah, lucky enough for me, there's no video of this, but we actually had to do this as part of our kindergarten show. We danced to this song, but there's no video evidence this exists. So I'm going to stick with that. So yeah, aside from this, the first movie also had a song which some people always say it's MC Hammer, but it isn't. Turtle Power. TURTLU power.
TURT. Oh God, that yeah. Oh,
yes.
What was that thing? Yeah, yes. I can vaguely remember that.
But yeah, it's not the popular song. It's a new song. It's good. It's fun. It actually explains like the entire premise of the movie in that.
Yeah,
song.
Actually.
April, you know, she gets in over her head. The woods give her a message for the turtles. It's the entire movie condensed into a 4-minute song with a catchy hook. It's not a bad thing. It's actually something that the 80s, like G.I. Joe does that too. The opening theme song, the opening theme song was just a theme song for the TV show, but the opening theme song for the original G.I. Joe movie explains the entire premise of the concept in a 3-minute awesome opening, one of my favorite openings to any movie. I used to drive my roommate.
Animated
one?
No. Yeah. I've seen the animated movie. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I've seen the animated one. But I actually own the Blu-ray.
Yeah, so there's that. And then as we go forward, Next Mutation had a decent song. Even though it's not the one that's actually used anymore, it's not the one on the Netflix. And then Ninja Turtles would take a break and then come back in 2003 with a new animated series. And this is mostly for the theme song. The original theme song's okay, it's nothing special. But around season 4 or 5, they wanted to revamp the show. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make it more kid-friendly. So as they do.
Comment on something else, sir.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that they go further with that because we mentioned Next Mutation, which is an awful show,
mm-hmm.
but they also did it in... They did it with this show where they went into the future, fast forward.
Yeah.
And they ended up living with April and Casey's great-grandson or something like that, and he had a robot sidekick.
Why haven't I heard of this? That sounds terrible. Awesome.
And then when that show didn't succeed, they went back to the present.
No,
but
didn't they not like air a part of the season of like they actually didn't air like most of that series at one point? It became like aired in like the lost episodes down the road or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was actually a very good season. That's the one when they have like the. It's kind of hokey, but that's the one.
Oh, it was the ninja
dragon. the original Shredder.
Yeah, and they aired the fast forward in its place because they aired those as lost episodes later. Okay.
Yeah, and then they went back to the present, and then they went back to the present, and that became more of a techno show where Splinter ended up becoming like he got digitized. Got spread across the internet, so they'd have to go into the computer to get back pieces of him. They really are focused on what the because the original half of the show was amazing. It was more in tune with the original comic books. It was dark. It was serious. Great action. Great animation. Great characterization. They brought in a lot of great guest stars and stuff like that. It was fun to watch. And then they were like, you know, this is too mature for our audience. We have to dumb it down by 20. And they gave us the fast forward and then whatever that robot one was. Though they did have an awesome kind of like the over the edge episode where Donatello goes in the future and finds out that the Ninja Turtles have been at war with the Shredder and they lost. And like, I think, you know, Leonardo lost an eye, Michelangelo misses an arm. So it's actually
Turtles of Future Past.
Pretty much.
Actually, and it's weird, it actually kind of reminds me a little bit of the, because Image did a comic series for it for a period of time, and it didn't last that long, but it's like Raphael lost an eye in that comic series, and I think one of the Turtles did lose an arm and crap like that, so kind of quirky how that one worked out.
Yeah, so it was a fun series as well, but I really wanted to mention this because when they were going from fast forward to bringing them back to the present, they held a contest on the website where people got to submit their theme songs and then people got to vote on it. There was something like 15 theme songs that were finalized, and I don't know if I have them on this computer anymore. I had all 15 of them because they varied. It was really cheesy. It was, I don't know why people, I guess it's because of MC, I'm not MC, I'm not, Vanilla Ice and stuff, but Ninja Turtles is very big with rap songs, apparently, or that whole rap feel. So there was a couple of those. And then there was just some really bad ones, and I think one of the terrible ones ended up winning, as they do. So yeah. And then this most recent one actually has a fairly decent theme song. I think partially because it harkens back to the original.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still not 100% sure if I like it or not. I've listened to it to try to determine if I like it enough. But it's passable, gets the job done, and the intro is kind of cool.
Are you talking about the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched the new show started here on Monday, I think it was, and I didn't watch it. But then when you told me we were doing Turtles today, I was going to sit down and watch it for the podcast, but then it'd already been deleted from the hard drive. But then my brother showed me the intro on YouTube. On the iPad, and I thought it was quite good. It was quite catchy and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean that's all you can ask.
The animation, so now I'm a bit more interested in watching the actual show.
The actual show, I think the actual show is interesting, but I don't want to spoil it since it's only been a couple of days and you haven't seen it yet. I think it has potential. I think there are some missteps. It's the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
He said
to me, "Diva." Already commissioned season 2, I think, even though they're like only 3 episodes in.
They had 1 episode.
Yeah.
I think what happened was the first episode ended up getting like 4 million viewers, so they were like, you know, and it's a CG show. Those take a lot of time to kind of get going.
And Nick's invested a good bit of money into this too, so they're pretty much like, yeah, we're in for at least 2 seasons, and let's see how it goes. And so far, from the first episode, they're on a good start. They're on a really good track with it.
Yeah, and they really, really kind of hyped up the entire weekend on Nickelodeon with Teddy.
Yeah, they did. Holy crap!
Ninja Turtles. I think they showed it something. They showed it like every 5 hours. They were showing a repeat of the premiere, and they were reminding you that the premiere was being shown and stuff like that. So there you go. It's promising. It's promising. It seems to take the best of the 2003 series and the best of the original series, which was mostly the tone. I think lighthearted plays well if you do it. You can have a lighthearted show that kind of has a serious backdrop, and that's what they're trying to go for. So we shall see how it works out eventually. I think right now, I mean, some of the initial problems I have with it based on design are like April's 15 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
April 15. It makes more sense, actually, if they're supposed to be, you know, friends or whatever, instead of her being an adult where it gets creepy when they hit on her.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's creepy that they hit on her in general.
Well, considering the, like, mutant turtles.
Yeah, the turtles.
But they're teens, man.
They're teens, see? That's how it makes sense.
They're horny teens?
Well, yeah.
Yeah?
Huh? It's still kind of weird. What? I mean, granted, I guess there aren't many.
Is April going to lay her eggs and then they're going to come along and hey, what? No, no, no.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. You do realize somewhere there's a fanfic involving that, right?
I'm going to continue not searching for that.
Somewhere there is a fanfic.
Probably on Tumblr, actually.
More than likely, yes.
Probably. Because that seems to be what everybody does at that shipping business.
Yeah, God. Oh, boy.
But moving on.
So anyway, you were saying, you know.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, of the multiple TV shows and series, I think the 2003 one is my favorite. It's the most, I mean, it's up until a point until they go to fast forward and then kind of goes all downhill. It has the most consistent story. It has great tone. It pays homage to the original series as well from time to time. And each of the turtles have personalities that does evolve over time. Like Michelangelo, for example, who's my favorite, so I pay attention to him a lot. You know, he is still kind of the goofball of the team, but he has proven to be a tremendous warrior. And he actually wins the Intergalactic Battle Nexus, which is determined the best fighter in the universe.
What the hell name is that? Intergalactic Battle Nexus. I expect David Otunga to be involved.
Why not?
And of course, Daniel Bryan would win it, but then get fired.
But that, wow.
Wow.
for a show about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this is getting a bit, you know.
What? A bit what?
I don't know.
And then, you know, Leonardo, you know, he's conflicted with, like, Leonardo and Raphael tend to always be the most conflicting personalities on any of these things, just because they both kind of strive to be that leader role, but Raphael's too much of a hothead, mm-hmm. and he never really sees it. I think it's a part of TMNT, which we haven't talked about the movies yet, but it's actually a nice dynamic. It's also kind of interesting because they're all pretty much the same age, but Raphael and Michelangelo also kind of have that younger brother, older brother thing. Because if Raphael is the angry one, Michelangelo is the, you know, complete opposite, where he's almost too calm to a fault at times, or he doesn't take things seriously enough. So yeah, their interactions are always fun. Now we can kind of jump back, I guess, and talk about the movies, which I think is the second way a lot of people got into the series, especially with the original, which I think came out in 90?
Thereabouts, yeah. And it was very much based on the comic more than the cartoon.
Yeah, which is a problem. Which is something you'll kind of see in the transition to the second movie, when they kind of had to tone it down because it was too violent for kids.
The first movie was actually like I was a kid, I thought it was a fun movie. It was good. I think what was really good about that was as a kid you didn't. It actually made the kid like, oh, this is really cool, and it had that just little bit of maturity to it, just enough, but still it was very kid-friendly, and it, you kind of went, oh, that was actually a really good movie. Then the second movie happened, and that was a quirky little film.
I actually prefer the second movie.
Really?
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
The first movie is a lot of fun. It's dark. It actually makes the Foot Clan a very dangerous threat, which is something they aren't in the cartoon at the time, just because they were robots.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't mention that, but part of the reason they were robots is because they didn't want them to use sharp objects on actual humans.
Yeah.
Which becomes a problem.
You can be a little bit dark and just make the Foot Clan robot. Sure.
which is kind of interesting, because
you can just remember things to your heart's content then.
Yeah, which is kind of funny because you haven't mentioned it, but each Ninja Turtle also carries a distinct weapon. Leonardo has his dual katana, Donatello has his bow staff, Michelangelo has his nunchucks, mm-hmm. and Raphael has his scythe. And of all those weapons, the ones they thought was most violent was the nunchucks.
That is funny, isn't it?
To the point that Michelangelo had to have his nunchucks removed later on in the show, and he got it replaced with like a grappling hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
my God, yeah. Which makes no sense, because as a weapon, a grappling hook would still be like, oh, you have to kill, you could hurt some motherfuckers with that thing.
You could do some damage with a grappling hook. Pretty
easy. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how, I still don't know how hit the nunchucks are the most valiant of, there's a sword and a guy with scythe, and the nunchucks are the ones you're concerned about. I mean, I always find that funny, but yeah.
The nunchuck, you can still, it's like, why is the nunchuck so dangerous? Because that was actually funny, because a lot of people were like that too, because like people who would watch the series would be like, bladed sword, scythe, bow stick, nunchucks, oh my God, those are scary. What? The nunchuck.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of fixed that in the new show, I guess, because they give him he has like a spike at the end of his nunchuck now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a cool update, I guess, to balance out the fact that he has to be toned down in the original series. But yeah, the first movie, again, you know, a lot of fun. The Foot Ninjas was a cool concept, especially since it was a franchise aimed at kids, where it was kind of teenagers who didn't feel like they fit in. Mm-hmm. And it was basically a cult.
Yeah, that was actually kind of cool. That was actually kind of fascinating playing around with that.
Yeah, and it was kind of, they had like this huge warehouse, and honestly, as a kid, I would hang out with the Foot too. They had an arcade.
They had an arcade!
You could skateboard.
They have Sam Rockwell hanging out, offering you cigarettes.
Yeah. I just learned that then. He was the head ninja, wasn't he? He looks about 12.
Yeah, he's a regular mentor.
Holy crap.
So yeah, they had a lot of ton of awesome stuff. I would rather be on the Foot team than living in the sewers with the Ninja Turtles. But yeah, aside from that, there was also that cool scene when they do assault his the Ninja Turtles base in the sewers, and Casey Jones, as we find out, is a tough guy who's afraid of confined spaces. No, he's not afraid of confined spaces because he ends up sleeping in his van. Okay, so the original story is that Danny, that's his name, right?
Sorry, what?
The kid's name is Danny. April's boss's... No, it's not... It's April boss's co-worker's son. Something stupid like that.
Oh, do you mean Danny Pennington?
Yeah, Danny Pennington.
I mean, that's what it says on the wikis here.
Okay. Yeah, he was a member of the Foot because he was one of those... the other extreme of the kids, the ones who didn't think his dad paid enough attention to him, even though his dad did, and he gave him everything he wanted, but he still was kind of that whiny, bratty kid. And he ends up... I forget how he meets the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, I really need to watch it. Basically, he ends up meeting the Ninja Turtles, and he goes back between the Ninja Turtles and the Foot headquarters, and he speaks to Master Splinter, and Master Splinter explains the importance of George, of his sons and all this other fun jazz. And then Shredder has this mystical power where he can sense the fact that he has a drawing that April made on his back pocket, and he realizes that he knows the location of the Ninja Turtles, and the Foot assaults the sewers, and it kind of is the climax where they all kind of meet Shredder on the roof of the building, and like I said, he pretty much kicks their asses for like 5 minutes before Master Splinter shows up, and he owns him by just using nunchucks.
Because he's badass.
You want to know something funny? I'm not going to remember the wiki. Kevin Clash, who's Elmo, is the voice for Splinter.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Corey Feldman was Donatello.
And also, the guy who played Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch, Robbie Riss, it was Michelangelo in the movie. Cousin Oliver's from Brady Bunch, by the way.
Yeah, this is another aspect we don't talk about at Brady Bunch. Even though we don't talk about the Brady Bunch, but...
Well, I had to insert that in there, because if I say Cousin Oliver, there will be some people, and it'll be like, who? Monster?
Who is this Cousin Oliver?
Oliver.
I don't have any cousins named Oliver.
Oliver? There would be at least one person who would be wondering, what? And like, Cousin Oliver's a Brady Bunch thing. Like, I know people, because like, while it still airs, there would be at least a few people that would be like, what the hell? Like, yeah, Cousin Oliver, Robbie Griss. He's actually an acclaimed voice actor now, but, and that's about... And right around the 90s is where he started really hitting big in the voice acting scene.
Okay. Speaking of voice acting, and this is, we're just jumping back and forth at this point, it's actually kind of distracting, but it makes sense that the voice of Donatello in the new cartoon is the original voice of Raphael in the first cartoon.
It's Rob Paulsen, right?
Yeah, I believe
so. He's also the voice of Pinky in Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, I think
and
Pinky and the Brain.
Yakko or Wacko? I forget which one.
And, I mean, just to kind of continue on that, we also have Jason Biggs is the voice of Leonardo, I believe. So, Jim, I guess he has no career after American Pie. And Sean Astin?
Astin.
Is the voice
oh
of
yeah,
Raphael.
This is a new one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sean Astin, the son of John Astin, who's famous for playing Gomez Adams. So
really, that's right.
Wait, Sean Astin. So
you mean Samwise?
Samwise.
And Mikey, I get whatever the fuck his name is in Goonies, that piece of shit movie.
Wait, what?
Oh.
Whoa, what?
Did you just spread mouth Goonies?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I said, no, actually,
Goonies is great when you're 5. When you're 32, you look at it, you say, Jesus Christ, this movie's terrible.
I knew I'd regret asking that.
Bad now. I've watched it as when about a few years ago as when I was older.
Just
was like,
a bunch of kids screaming.
The 80s.
Sean Astin also very famous for his role as Lynn McGill in 24.
That's right, he did play in 24, didn't he?
Yes, I hated it in 24.
Yeah, I think he was like one of the corporate government people.
Yeah,
he did nothing but stop Jack Bauer from being awesome.
I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out in 24. You're white, you probably work for the government. You're Russian, Muslim, or pretty much you're a villain. Anything else is up in, if you're black, you're the president. And that's pretty much the three extremes on 24. But Ninja Turtles, I forget why exactly it is, but Casey Jones doesn't return for the second movie. I want to say it was because the actor...
No fucks were given that day.
Yeah,
so...
No.
So he's dropped from the second movie, and instead we kind of get a Casey Jones replacement, which is Kano?
What?
The dude from Mortal Kombat with half a face?
Yeah, no. The pizza delivery boy, whose name I am not remembering.
Yeah.
Why
I've been keeping the wiki on my cooler. Kino. It is Kino.
Kino. And he's kind of... He's just really hyperactive. But other than that, I prefer it because it does kind of go in a more lighthearted, manner. And...
Oh, God.
It kind of gets cheesy at times, but...
Oh, man.
As we kind of determined before, I am a fan of cheesy. But, yeah,
you
I mean...
You cheese on toast, though, don't you?
I don't... Oh, I eat grilled cheese. I don't need egg and open bread with cheese on top.
Cheese on toast, you should try it sometime. With beans as well.
With what?
With mushy peas.
Yeah, that's that. So wait, you just have like an open-faced cheese sandwich?
No, toasted
bread, toasted with cheese on top, also melted on there. Cheese on toast.
It sounded like you said cheese on toads.
No.
Toads would be a whole other situation.
That's not what I said.
I know that's not what you said. I said that's what it said.
No, I knew you said cheese on toast.
I didn't know what you were talking about. I just sound like you said cheese on toast. I'm like, I know we're talking
Wesley
about Ninja Turtles.
It's just you.
Okay, but back to Ninja Turtles, because...
Yeah. Wait, we're talking about Ninja Turtles, are we?
Yeah.
We're going to have this entire podcast on cheese and toast.
Cheese and... But yes, we kind of mentioned the entire Vanilla Ice sequence already, but there's other stuff.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's other stuff in this movie, including the pre-fight ceremonial donut.
Oh, why do we keep talking about food? I'm hungry now.
I'm glad I ate before this.
But, yeah, they were part of the, I forget the science behind it, but basically they wanted to create Bebop and Rocksteady in this movie, but they couldn't use them, so they created two generic monsters.
Razar and Tucka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tucka.
Who eventually made their way into one of the games. I forget which game.
I think they're in Turtles in Time.
They're a team in the game, aren't they?
They're bosses. I want to say in the Wild West.
I think that's it.
And then when you beat them, they turn back into the tiny creature. No, they're bosses on the Technodrome.
Yeah, and I like that effect how they said, yep, you beat them, and they're back to normal.
Yeah.
I liked their characters. I liked how they looked in the... actually did not look too bad in the movie. I got a kick out of their character designs.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny, because, I mean, they were infants in that movie, and that's the point that Shredder makes. Babies? They're just babies, and then he wants to have them killed, and he realizes they're just really strong and idiotic, and they think that he's their mama, so they kind of listen to him. But there's some wacky comic book science here where one of the professors who worked on the Ooze project is able to reverse engineer the formula, but the only way for them to take it is through an injection, so they actually have to eat the donut. But that doesn't work, so they force them to digested by, I believe, pushing fire extinguishers down their throat. Because the carbon dioxide speeds up the process. Like I said, weird, wacky comic book science. But in the end, they turn back into creatures. But Shredder got the acid it ooze. He drinks it for the climax, and he turns into Super Shredder, who basically just destroys the dock. And I don't know why the Ninja Turtles are screaming when they're used to water, but he kills himself, apparently, and that's the end of the movie.
You realize we're going to be hitting the next movie, which is the one people really get cringy about.
I was going to say the terrible one, but that really doesn't narrow it down, does it?
Yeah, I was about to say, the next two are kind of...
The third one is, like, pretty dang painful.
The third one... The funny thing is, the third one, I believe it came out before... It came out after Turtles in Time, the video game, which originally, and this is way back when, I actually thought was going to be based on it, because it's basically the same concept as Ninja Turtles going back in time.
It's just not as cool.
It's just not near as much fun.
So when you go back to the time of Samurai and learn the Kung Fu? What? No, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's, you know, it's wacky hijinks, because they go back in time to ancient, I think, Japan. And then four Japanese men come back to the future, and it's like Casey Jones in the future with the... Well, I guess in the present with these wacky Japanese who don't know anything. And, you know, there's a love story. I think Raphael falls in love with somebody. It's either Raphael or I forget who falls in love. It's really just kind of... how does it start? Like, I know that Staff sends them back in time, but does April go back first, or...
Yeah, because don't the turtles go back to save April or something?
I don't remember.
I thought that was part of the reason. I thought that, well, I think it's, or does one of them, I think, like, Raphael or someone accidentally goes back by accident, and then the other three go back because to try and save him. And I've just noticed it's got a 4.5 rating on IMDb, which is not very good.
No, it's not. It's not that it's terrible. I just find it very boring, and I've always think that's a greater crime for a movie. I don't have any motivation to watch it. Like I own the Ninja Turtles 20th anniversary box set that came out 25th anniversary box set that came out a couple of years ago. I watched the first two movies on Blu-ray, and I get to the third, and I'm like, I don't have to do it today.
And also, Casey Jones returns for the third one, which was like, okay.
Which is pretty useless, because he just kind of hangs out in the future with their end. Like, he doesn't really interact with the Ninja Turtles. So yeah, that's the third one. And then we'd take a break for a decade, actually. I think this came out in 96, and the next one doesn't come out until 2007. And this is one of those really stupid sequels, because it's a part of a sequel, but it's not a complete sequel, because it doesn't want to recognize that part of some of it happened. So it's a sequel to...
So Superman Returns, then?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I believe it's a sequel to 1 that thinks that parts of 2 and some of 3 happened, but not all of it. I was saying that this is one of those stupid sequels where I think it's a sequel to 1, and it assumes that parts of 2 and 3 happened, but not the entire movie. Or that you didn't have to watch the entire movie to get that, even though they do pay homage to the fact that these movies happen, because at the end of the movie, they have their trophy room, I guess, and you see the scepter from the second one, from the third one, and the canister of ooze from the second one. But this movie, again, just kind of suffers from a lack of interesting villains. You have, Max Winters or something like that, and he's an ancient being who has immortality, played by Patrick Stewart, and he wants to resurrect his brethren, and in order to do that, he has to sacrifice 13 monsters or something like that. Actually, I think he sacrifices them to end his immortality and die, or something stupid like that. I don't really remember. The only thing I remember about this movie, and it again goes back to my terrible puns, the main villain in this movie is called Winters, and there's a scene where the turtles are breaking into his ear, and his monsters turn on him, and they throw him out as soon as the turtles come, and I think Donatello says, "It's Winters," and Mike Manager just responds, "It's more like Falls, if you ask me," and I'm like, it's such a terrible line, but I love that scene, and that's like the only thing that stands out to me in this entire movie.
It's a weird, because I saw... Well, what's funny is I saw the movie in theaters. It's not, you know, it's weird. I actually never thought it was a bad movie. It didn't really seem like really bad. It's not the best movie by any means, but it's not like terrible. I mean, it's a fun little film. I mean, it has solid animation quality for one thing. That's one thing you can't say. It actually does have a really good look to it, and it is a pretty fun movie for the most part. It's weird. It's kind of mostly because it kind of did some cool little bits and pieces. Like I kind of like Raphael's the Night Watchman personality. Night Watcher.
Yeah, that was
cool. The best part of the movie, honestly.
So I have to agree with Casey Jones. It's like, how did his brothers not? Like, how many people dress up like a giant metal turtle?
Yeah, that was funny. Like, don't you guys realize? Raphael?
No, that's
they
the
dumb.
The fight with him and Leonardo in the building had amazing lighting as well.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, the animation in that movie was really good for the most part. It was actually pretty solid stuff, and also the movie's a big way kind of recognized because it was the final role Mako did before he died.
Yes,
Mako's final movie was voicing Splinter, so and it. And then, it's a very... I overall like the TMNT movie. I haven't really had a big desire to watch it again in a long time, but...
It's not bad. It's better than the third one, but that's really not saying a lot.
It's one of those things where... kind of like an odd little... Yeah, it's definitely an odd little movie at the same time. Because there are parts of that movie that... There's, like, some weak points, but there are some really strong points. So it kind of goes back and forth.
Yeah, and then there was the rumors of a fifth movie.
Oh, God, and this is where the pain begins.
And this is probably the worst movie that's never going to be made.
Never, ever going to be made. Ever.
So what happens when you let Michael Bay make Transformer movies and he makes money from them?
Aliens.
Then he just thinks he can do whatever the fuck he wants. You are talking about the planned Michael Bay film, aren't you? That got cancelled because everyone complained because it was a terrible idea.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's not. Not it wasn't a terrible idea, but it also seems to be like a very generic setup. Like they were the chosen ones of an alien race. I mean, how many times can the chosen one be done? Like, I mean, granted, they probably were trying to give more reasons to it than it being a random hack happenstance when they turned into ninjas. But and again, aliens are a huge part of the Ninja Turtles mythos. I mean, Krang has been around since the original cartoon. Mm-hmm. You know, the Uthrons were in the new series.
Krang's been around since the comics.
Yeah, Krang's been around.
The original that was the original like weird twist in the comic because that it was like this weird gritty kind of take off of Daredevil and Frank Miller, and then suddenly there's aliens.
Yeah. So, but you know, turning the Ninja Turtles into aliens, making them the chosen ones, a prophecy, just seemed like it didn't add anything to the mythos. It just seems to be like it's a generic setup for most action movies.
Well, that's the thing now is it just adds that to every single franchise or story. It's like, oh, he's the chosen one, it's destiny. It's like, no, not everyone needs to be that.
Exactly.
Not everyone is Harry Potter.
It's one of the reasons why I've always loved Die Hard. It's John McCain isn't the chosen one. He just happens to be the right guy at the wrong time.
And that's gotten increasingly less and less.
Yeah,
The movies have gone on.
That's part of the reason I brought that up is because I saw the trailer for A Good Day to Die Hard today, and
oh yeah, I need to watch that.
Apparently, he's just become John Rambo at this point.
Oh.
He's like running through buildings, shooting stuff. I mean, this isn't John McCain wasn't a guy who was acting first. He just happens to be responding to everything around him. Now he's like, hell yeah, I got me a shotgun. or as he says in this, as he says in the old line he says in the trailer is he's 007 from Trenton, New Jersey. Or something akin to that. But yeah. So yeah, there was a lot of other stupidness involved with that, but we really won't harp on it too much. It looks like it's set in the ward at this point, which probably means they'll probably go back to the board.
And oh yeah,
especially based on the success of the cartoon premiere, I can see them trying to get it more in tune with that.
They'll probably do a movie like knowing Nickelodeon. They'll probably get the idea of setting up a movie with the movie version of the TV version of these of the Ninja Turtles and just expanding it further and just doing something more with that along that line. So, because Nickelodeon, if they can make a movie out of it, they'll do it.
Yeah, they've made like 4 Fred movies.
So. So yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess to kind of wrap it up and speak quickly about it, even though we kind of touched on it before, Ninja Turtles games and comic books, which it's sad to say comic books are kind of, but again, I don't think a lot of people got into the series with the comic books. I think people kind of get in with other things and then go back to the comic books. They recently relaunched that series, actually, as I mentioned before, and it's back to the dark and creepy.
Yeah.
Of the original.
Because they actually, at one point in, because during like around, during the time of the Ninja Turtles heyday, it was like, you had the Ninja Turtles series. You had a Ninja Turtles series running at the time. And Nick, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this because I remember most of this, but some of the stuff of the Ninja Turtles stuff I wasn't as familiar with. So correct. Don't even hesitate to correct me if I'm wrong on any of it. It's basically during the time period they had the Ninja Turtles, the Darker series running, and then Archie at the time period had made a series that was based off the animated version that used that stuff as the stuff of their comic book line. So they had like 2 concurrent different tones of Turtles comics out there at one point.
Yeah, I remember reading some of the Archie stuff. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, and I had some of it too. I remember I looked through my comic collection. I was like, I have some of these. Wow. I actually have a collection of some of the original Turtles comics that I didn't read as a kid, but I read in my teens, and I'm like, this is actually, like, wow, this is badass. And that's when I went, wow, this is really badass. And also there was the Image Comics series I mentioned earlier, which, by the way, as per that, the Ninja Turtles canon, it never happened. Mm-hmm. It got purged from the entire Ninja Turtles continuity. So, So pretty much it's like the IDW stuff is official, and the last series, nope, never happened.
Yeah.
Dreamwave had a series too at one point, so...
There was a bunch. I mean, even though it got rebooted, I think the comics always kind of existed. They were just different forms of it. So yeah, there's that. And the video games, he kind of touched on Turtles in Time, which I still think holds up as the best in the series.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, I mean, there was the one on the Nintendo, which a lot of people hate.
Oh God, you know, there's some people that hate it and some people that really love it. It's very interesting to see how that one works out.
I think what most people remember, I mean, myself included, is the hard as nail and frustrating to a point underwater level.
Yes.
With the seaweed and time limit and all this. It's like bad game design 101.
I think that was another one of those moments where if I would have known more swear words as a child, I probably would have used them for that level as a kid, so.
Yeah. And then the other ones were, I mean, most of them were arcade games, so you had the Manhattan Project, which is cool. There was a fighter, which is kind of...
TMNT Tournament Fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that game.
There was... The Genesis had a version of Turtles in Time. That, I forget what it was called,
Hyperstone Heist.
Yeah, there we go. Which is basically like Turtles in Time with some remixed stages and stuff cut out. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of went quiet, which makes sense because the franchise was kind of in a lull for the better part of a decade. And then around like 2003, when the new show came out, they started doing a lot more. And these weren't great games by any stretch of the imagination, but I continue to buy them year after year. Because they were some of the few games that offered like 4-player co-op,
mm-hmm.
So I would buy them and we just kind of rush through them in college because we were all Ninja Turtles fans and beat 'em ups are games. I think you can kind of play with anybody because they just kind of have that simple pick up and play appeal. And if somebody isn't that great, you can always kind of pick up the slack in good way. So it was all based on the cartoons. So there was like Battle Nexus, which I think was the third one. There was just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What were the other ones? Basically, it came out every year from 2003, 2004 or so, until 2007, in which they did a game for the new movie, which was really stupid because it had, like, each turtle had a special ability, which is kind of cool, but you couldn't play... co-op, so you'd have to switch in and out between different Ninja Turtles and as a 1-player game.
Yeah, was weird. You didn't put co-op in a Ninja Turtles game?
Yeah, it's made for co-op. There's 4 characters, and you usually unlock more. You know, you can usually end up getting Sprinter and April and Casey along the lines and stuff like that. But yeah, it came out, I'm like, there's no co-op in this game at all. Why would I play it? And then finally, the last game I really played, other than like the remakes on Xbox Live and stuff like that, was the Ninja Turtles Smash Up, which was a Ninja Turtles version of Smash Brothers. Not done as well, but what is? So yeah, I think that's it, unless you folks have anything to add or say.
Honestly, not too much more. I want to mention something really, really quick. I don't think we got into this too much. Is like, what do you think? Like the pretty much the Ninja Turtles. That's got the new series had a really good sense of character designs. I mean, for the most part, if we would have gotten more into the animation. I would have probably gotten a little more in depth into that. But really, the show has potential, and I'll be happy to see how long it goes this time. How long it goes, because they got 2 seasons for sure, and we'll see how from there if it gets like a third and fourth. So,
mm-hmm.
if it's gonna last longer than most Marvel shows,
yeah.
Oh,
damn right. Considering what happened to poor Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes,
it's actually kind of funny.
I realized when the episode of God was like, no, we'll get rid of that.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's kind of funny, because Avengers aired early in Australia, and I kind of watched the rest of the series, and once I did, I didn't watch the Marvel Universe anymore. I don't know, I stopped watching Ultimate Spider-Man, because I didn't have any motivation if it wasn't paired with a show I actually enjoyed.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, once, it's like, hey, Earth by its Heroes, you know, this is getting some decent ratings, cool storyline, people are getting into it, we're going to cancel it now, and we're going to replace it with a show that fits Ultimate Spider-Man's tone.
The thing is, though, that the Ultimate Spider-Man and the Avengers, they're on at, like, Sunday morning at, what, 10 o'clock? They're not aimed at us. They're aimed at little kids. And kids
will take a new
Avengers show. They're not going to care.
I don't buy that, because Young Justice and Green Lantern are on an hour earlier the day before, and those are cartoons that are aimed at a general audience. And they are much smarter and much better done. Legend of Korra, same time.
Yeah.
Aimed at a much more general audience. Even this Ninja Turtles show aimed at a much more general audience. You don't have to be completely... This is the same discussion we have with the Batman Animated Series show. You don't need to dumb down for kids.
Kids are smarter than you think.
I don't think Ultimate Spider-Man is dumbed down.
It's not dumbed down. It's really just goofy. It's like, haha, let me talk to the camera so you know what I'm talking about. And stuff like that. It's a Family Guy type of humor. And
yeah.
Family Guy got old with that as well.
So they just rehash Back to the Future all the time? Oh, sick burn.
But yeah, most of the time it's just like Spider-Man doing something goofy or like chubby-style Spider-Man or something like that. And again, I don't mind humor in my cartoons. I love Brave and the Bold, which I think is went for something similar, in that it's a lighthearted take on a classic character, but Brave and the Bold did it better. It had fun with it, where Ultimate Spider-Man is trying to play itself seriously in a story and still have these fun asides, and it doesn't work. But I think that should be saved for a time when maybe we do another DC Marvel animated special.
Yeah,
versus.
Well, not versus. We did that. That was like a three-parter.
Versus. If anything,
who knows? But next week, hopefully, finally, depending on our schedules, we can finally do this Star Trek episode.
Mm-hmm.
If not, whatever.
I'm sure Doc Heisenberg will be very excited by that.
Yes, he will.
Yeah. You can find us on...
Also, by the way, for the Star Trek episode, you'll be able to say, "Shut up, Wesley," and it'll make sense.
Well, some of us will. I still don't even know if I'm going to be around for that episode.
Come on, Earl. You know you want the opportunity to be able to say, "Shut up, Wesley," and have it make entirely perfect sense.
Yeah. But yeah, you can find us on iTunes. You can check out the website every Tuesday. Nick does his A to Z Cinema.
Yep,
this past week was
Equilibrium.
Christian Bale's 1-2 punch that made me think he could be Batman this and American Psycho. Because those are the movies you had to see once you went into college, apparently. Hold on. You can check out my, even though it's really off schedule, I just put my fandom from Fandom with the Elf as I recap the Bond franchise heading up to the 23rd edition of Skyfall on November 6th, except for you fancy Europeans.
26th, baby, of October. The Adele song's out, like, at midnight as well, officially. I think it's already online. But.
No, there's this 90-second sample, not the full song. So yeah, it is that. And then we have other fun stuff in there. We're going to try to do more comic book reviews now. And I get to check out New York Comic Con next week, which I'm somewhat excited for.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
But for Nickius, Wesley, Anthony, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 110.
Nerds on the Rocks.
Cowabunga.
Booyakasha.
Gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is filled with the new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the Ninja Turtle bass. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. power, cause in this life there's only one winner. You better aim quick, you can hit the center. In it to win it with a team of four Ninja Turtles that you got at the door. It's Ninja, Ninja, Rap, Ninja, Ninja, Rap, Ninja, Ninja, Rap. Go ninja, go ninja, go, go ninja, go ninja, go, go ninja, go ninja, go, 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 go. Villains, you better run and hide, because one day you might not slide. So choose your weapon, don't.